بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين صلوات رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الاسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها صدق الله العظيم صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The ayah of Quran that I've been focusing on the last 2 days, and today is the Thursday, is ayah number 180 of surah number 7. And as I mentioned before, it's good to know these ayahs. So for example, if you know 7 days a week, you want to make a 180 degree U-turn, and you want to turn towards divinity, then you remember 7180. So he says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And for Allah are the most beautiful names. This is a rough translation. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call him by them. A name, and we talked about it on the first day, is synonymous with my character. Synonymous with an attribute. And when the Prophet said, تَخَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah, he meant learn those names. Make sure that you know them and then you adopt them in your life. It's just not reciting them like a parrot. And we've talked about that in the first majlis. I'm just going over some of it at the moment. Now, in the first day, we looked at a bit of an introduction and we looked at the name Allah. If you were to take all those names, and I say 99, Joshin Kabir is 1,000. But if you took every attribute of Allah and you put it in a pot and you melted it, you would have Allah. So if you don't remember anything else, you know Ya Allah, right? You know what? Just sitting down and calming yourself down, inhaling and exhaling with Ya Allah will also make a difference. Yesterday, we looked at the only name in the Quran that you can personalize. It's not part of the 99 names, but it is synonymous with Allah, which was Rabb. So you will see, you say, Ya Rabbi, all the prophets, every single prophet, when they prayed, when they asked for help, they used the word Rabb. And it's the only one you can personalize. You will not see in the Quran, Rahmani, or Rahimi, or Maliki, or Quddusi. You just won't see it. When you add a Ya to Arabic, it means it's mine. So for example, is mother. If you were to say my mother, you would say ummi. Ilah is God. If you wanted to say my God, you would say ilahi. However, there's no ilahi in the Quran. Allahumma appears 5 times. But Rabb, countless times. I mean, look at all the du'as we've talked about. Rabbi anni maghlubun fantasir. The first du'a of human beings. Rabbana dhalamna anfusana. It's always Rabbi or Rabbana. Okay. So that was yesterday. And I hoped that yesterday till today, you've done these tasbih of Ya Rabbi. Yes, no, maybe, perhaps. Don't look at me. Just say yes, okay? So Rabbi is good. It's a personalized name. Today, we're going to look at the two names that we are told by most scholars from which all these names originate. And you know there is something called Isme A'zam. Have you heard of Isme A'zam? Oh my goodness. You haven't. You have. So Ismaelim is a bit, you know, people, scholars are different. Some will say it's in any one of the names or recite all of them. But these two are known as the most prolific or the most important of all the names, and that's Ya Hayyu and Ya Qayyum. And we're going to look at that, right? So let me give you a hadith to start with. By the way, you should have these charts, and hopefully you will learn them all. And you'll see Ya Hayyu and Ya Qayyum is put there, 62 and 63. There is a sign at the bottom, which is a sign of eternity, because it takes you to your full potential, which is absolutely limitless. Right? Let's go back to this hadith. So this is the Battle of Badr. If you've done history before, in the Battle of Badr, there were about 313, if I'm not mistaken, on one side. On the other side, 10,000. So you imagine 313, 10,000. Then you imagine one horse and about 100 there. Numbers differ. History happened a long time ago. But just imagine an overwhelming army, just like you had in Karbala. Did you not have an overwhelming army? Yes? Now you imagine the Battle of Badr. So you, in my mind at least, I think that that dua that the Prophet might have done might be the most important one. Because he's thinking, we're overwhelmed here. What did he do? So this is a hadith of Imam Ali. He said, we were fighting in the battlefield, but every time the Prophet got a moment, I would find him in sajda. And I would go near to see what he's reciting. Do you know what he recited? Ya Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Just three. Ya Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And we'll go into the meanings because just reciting doesn't work. You've got to actually embody it in your life, okay? Musa, we talked about him yesterday. Inna ma'aya Rabbi sayahdeen. Remember? Fir'aun behind him, water in front. The people of Musa say, Inna lamudrakun, we're gone, we're finished. And he said, la la la, Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen, my Rabbi is with me, he'll guide me. Before he strikes the water, he says, Ya Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And I need you to remember this. So today we've got four we're going to do in a line. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Now we're going to go into each one and see exactly what they mean and go into it. And then I'll go into the dua that is the full dua, which starts off with Ya Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. So, first of all, let's go into Hay, right? Hay, everybody knows. Muhyi is another word of, or another name of Allah. But Hay, in essence, may, in our minds, we think somebody who's alive. The translation in your charts, I think, is ever living. Somebody who will not die. Now I'm going to put it in our language, right? Imagine Allah was on WhatsApp. You have WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Oh, great. And he's always online. Always online. That's Hay. He's always online. And the moment you send a message, there's blue ticks. And straight after, you get an answer.
Yeah.
That's Hay. Hay is always online. Always there. It could be wherever you are. He is there. He's always alive, okay? But he also gives life. He's the giver of life. He grants me life. He grants absolutely everything. It's hayat. But I'm going to talk about life in a minute. It's not exactly what you and I might have to think what life is all about. So I'm going to go to some of the meanings of Allah. One, he is ever living, so he will never die. He's eternal. And number two, he's the absolute source of living. And number three, he's never offline, just like I told you, right? So he's always there. Now, yesterday I quoted a little hadith. You could call it a hadith, you'd call it poetry, you'd call it a dua. It's from Hadith Qudsi, where Allah says, Abdi ati'ni, my slave, follow me, do what I say, because I will give you the guidance to reach your full potential. Ana hayyun la amut. I live, I never die. فَجَعَلَكَ حَيٌّ لَا تَمُوتُ. I shall make you to live, never to die. If you look at every human being, you don't have to follow any religion, and you ask them, what would you want? Why do you think people go to the gym? Why? They want to live longer and healthier, don't they? When people are happy, they want to live longer. When they're sad, they go a bit nuts in there, okay? But when they're happy, they want to live. If they know, and all of us know, that life will come to an end, we still want people to remember us. We're hoping that they will come to the grave. We're hoping that they will remember our legacy. That's human beings within us. We want immortality, right? So this is what we need to think about when we think of Hai. Giver of life, I want that. Okay, so how am I going to do this? He says, he tells me in the Quran. So look up Quran, please. Look up these ayat. Surah number 25, Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 58. He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. You want to live forever? You want a life that is worthwhile? You want a life that is happy? You want a life that is attached to divinity? Then trust him. He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. And continually praise him. Continually say, you're the best. That's no harm in saying that. And then he say, وَكَفَى بِهِ. And know that he is enough for you. بِذَنْبِهِ. And now he says, I know your sins. I'm absolutely sure about all your sins. But remember yesterday we talked about how he forgives all sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Don't anybody tell you that you're somebody whom nobody can find a way out for. No way. That's what he is. So being alive means having a good life. Being alive in terms of divinity means assisting others to live. Not saying, oh, bichari. There's no such thing as bichari, okay? Whatever situation they're in, lift them up. It's giving somebody a crutch. It's giving somebody a hand. It's listening to them. It's answering them. That's what it's all about. That's what Al-Hay is all about, right? I had a friend, he was pretty old. He's a Jewish rabbi. And I used to go and visit him every once a month because he lived in Paris. And I still remember on his wall, he had something that said, Ali. He said, that is going to be buried with me. But every time I went, he gave me some other advice. One day he told me, I was complaining about the children leaving marks on the patio door. I mean, that's how trivial I was, okay? I said, every time I clean that patio door, there's more hand marks. He said, don't worry, they'll only get higher. But the advice that he gave me that really got me and really made me, he said, you know what? Only panic when God is dead. I'll repeat again. He told me, only panic about anything in life when God is dead. And that's what Hay is. The moment you hear Hay, know that he's never going to die. There's no need to panic, no? Do your best, leave it up to him, and he'll sort it out. He does a fantastic job. Hay, mentioned 5 times in the Quran. With Qayyum, 3 times. And Hayyul Qayyum. Qayyum is only mentioned 3 times. These are just little bits and pieces that you need to understand what it's all about, right? So he's telling me, I'm Hay, I'm living. If you too want to live, not live a life which is inconspicuous, which is not in line with divinity, then you need to trust me and you need to help others. There's a man who came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, explain to me what Islam is in one sentence. I don't want a long majlis. Okay? And he said, before you get off your horse, just tell me what it is. He said, obedience to the Creator and serving His creation. That's what it's all about. Basically, that's bottom line. Okay? So here we have Allah. I'm not going to go into every single bit of this, but some of it's amazing, really amazing. So now we're going to go into Qayyum. What is Qayyum? Hay you've got, hopefully. Yes? Ever living, gives you life, makes you live, and you'll only panic when he dies. Are you good with that? Okay, right. Now we'll go into Qayyum. So, Hay living. Qayyum is he who looks after me every moment. You know what Qayyum means? Qama means to stand. When you pray Salah, what do you say? Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aqud. Qama is to stand. He keeps things standing. He puts them together. He keeps them there. He provides for sustenance for every single person. So the meanings even by ulama was he maintains, he protects, he takes care of every aspect of existence. Let's go back to WhatsApp. So you saw the blue ticks, right? That is Hay. You know he's online. But that doesn't help. In fact, it makes you even worse. Because you think, they've seen it, but they're not replying. And now these days, it has a thing in the settings where people can't see that. You got that too? Oh, okay. You've got to be a little bit savvy to go all these things, right? So people can't see you if you've seen the blue ticks. But here, you can see the blue ticks. Qayyum is the person who answers straight away. Not only does he answer, he appears at your door. Hayyul Qayyum. He's at your service at all times, provided you let him. provided we allow him to do these sort of things, right? So let me go back now. I'll go back to somebody I love talking about. Yochebed. Do you know Yochebed was? Yochebed or Musa. Actually, adore her. I think she's beautiful. So here we have Musa. Musa has this baby, right? She knows that if these people know about this baby, what they're going to do? They're going to kill this baby. She knows that. She knows as soon as the soldiers find out that she's got a baby, they're going to kill that baby. So now nobody comes and tells her. Huh? She has an inspiration. Was Musa masoom? No. What was she? She was a mom who trusted God. How did she trust God? Because when she was told, when her baby was, remember when her baby was taken away? Yes? She had this trust in her. Okay, let's see her trust playing out. So she trusted. So Musa is told, take your baby and throw your baby in the river. Who is going to do that? That's an inspiration. If you want to save your baby, you've got to put this baby in the river. Right? This is Quran, by the way. You can have a look and see. Surah number 28, ayah 10. Let's see what Allah says. He says, "Wa asbaha fu'ada ummi Musa." You know what subu means? What does subu mean? When the dawn comes and it tears apart. Fu'ad is the innermost heart. When the heart of Musa was torn apart, like the morning is torn apart. And it was fariga, it was empty. She didn't know what to do. You've been in situations like that, not only with babies, but with ourselves. You don't know what to do. You're torn apart. In kadat li tubdiya, and she was about to tell the soldiers everything. Because her inspiration is telling her, put the baby in the river. But her logic is telling Allah, can't do that. And Allah says, lawla an rabatna ala kalbiha, if we did not hold her heart, litakuna min al mu'minin, it would have been very difficult. Have you seen that emoji on your phones, which has a heart and then it has a plaster on it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. Okay, so that's the emoji you think of when you think of Qayyum, and you say, like saying Dua Mashlul. You read Dua Mashlul, right? Ya marrabata ala kalbi ummi Musa. Oh, you who held together the heart of Imam Musa, ya hayu ya Qayyum, hold my heart together. I know you heard me, but I need you to hold it together. Are you good with that? So now when you think of Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, you're going to think of that heart emoji. You're going to think of WhatsApp. He's always online, and he'll post you back the heart emoji, and he'll be at your door. Are you good? Well, you got to smile a bit. No, I think you're such an awesome Rob. Absolutely phenomenal. I look at it, and I think, thank you. So now this dua, and I need you to memorize it. If not, we'll try and get it printed out for you so you've got it. But every time you feel that you need him right there now, as in now, desperation, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. So you've got Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Are you good with that? Okay. Then, Bi Rahmatika Astaghisu. I am desperately in need of your mercy right now. Write it out. Stick it on your bed. Stick it in your cars, whatever you want. Okay? Bi rahmatika astaghithu. Don't understand Arabic? It's okay. Say it in English. Just know Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. You can't change people's names. You know that. You can't say, oh, the ever-living. La, la. Just say Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. And then Bi rahmatika astaghithu. I'm in desperate need of your mercy. What do I want this mercy for? Aslihni sha'ani kulliha. Sort out all these issues I have. There's so many. But to write them out, there's so many issues, right? So you're telling him, aslihni. Make peace. I want to make peace with these issues. You can't take people. You can't control people. You can't do anything, but you can make peace inside here. And then you say, wala taqilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Don't leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye, because I have issues. Help me not to react, but to respond. That's basically what you're saying. That's what Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum is all about. Before I go into Masaib and I show you the people who actually were amazing at Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, I'm going to go into a couple of things. First of all, there are four places. Now, scholars differ. So they tell you Ismi Adham is in four things. One of them, obviously, is in Ayatul Kursi, which is Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. When we get time, we might do Ayatul Kursi at some stage. Second one says Suratul Fatiha. And which name is in Suratul Fatiha? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil alameen. Okay. Then the other one they say is in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Allahus samad. So you've got ahad and samad there. You can look it up where it is. And the fourth thing they say it in is in Ayatul Karima. You know what Ayatul Karima is? What did Yunus recite in the belly of the fish? La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kuntu minad zalimin. So la ilaha is Allah. So we've covered Allah, Rabb. Come on. Hayyul Qayyum. Okay, we will look at Rahman and Rahim at some stage and Ahad and Samad at some stage. But I tell you a story before I go into Masail. You see, Hay is not subject to time. Allah is not subject to time and space like we are. We are subject to time and space. And there are some things that will happen in life that we will have no control over. The one thing that we will not be is we will never live forever. We've got to get that into our heads. You and I will not live forever. But the life we have must be such a life that it leaves a legacy. So the idea is to think, what legacy am I going to leave behind? So Alexander the Great, many of you have heard this before, I'm just repeating it. Quran says, enough at the dhikra, it's good for repetition. Alexander the Great had a terminal illness. By the way, when somebody is ill, they haven't brought it on themselves. Allah is not punishing them. These are tests that happen in life. Everything happens in life. So he had a terminal illness. He couldn't come to terms with it. But when he did come to terms with it, because remember, he was wealthy. He could call all the physicians of the world. So when he thought, right now, death is near, he tells his consultants, his people around him, and he said, when you bury me, make sure my coffin is carried by the physicians, only the doctors. Secondly, all that wealth that I have, make sure it's just all over the roads where my coffin is going to pass, and let people take it. And the third thing, leave my hands out of the coffin. I said, why? Why do you want to do that? Nobody's done that. He said, because I want people to know that you could have the best physicians in the world. They're not going to make you better. If you don't have Hay, and he didn't say Hayyan Qayyum, if you don't have divinity, which is Hayyan Qayyum, number one. Number two, all these treasures I'm not going to take with me, so that's not my legacy. My legacy is what I leave behind. My words, what I did, how I lifted somebody up, I smiled at them, I helped them, I made them feel a bit better. That's what it's all about. And the final thing he said was, hands out, when you go back to your grave, you're not going to take anything with you. All you're going to take is how you made somebody else feel. What did I do? So the idea of Hayyul Qayyum is to be Hayyul Qayyum. Give somebody else life. Make them feel good. Do something for them. Qayyum, act for them. Do something that will make them smile. That's what it's all about. And if you look at Karbala, and we sit here every single year, and we go over the story, why do we do that? Why is it repeated with so many details? Go to Surah Maryam. Do you know what Surah Maryam is? Surah number? 19. Oh, thank God for that. Okay. So now Maryam is giving birth to a baby. Haven't lots of us given birth to babies? And if not, we've been given birth to. So we know that much, right? God gives, it's up to him whether he gives or not. So why does Allah describe this birth in detail? Oh, it was hurting her. Then she shook the tree. Then she was told, eat the dates. Okay, we were hurting too. Were we not? Every single detail. Pick up the date, eat the date, drink of the water that's there. Or in detail. You know when you do that? When you love someone. When you love someone. Have you seen grandmas like me? The moment somebody said, how many grandchildren do you have? I take out my phone. Look. Right? I never thought you could do that. Have you asked a person who's first had a baby what their baby's, what they're doing? Oh, they'll talk about potty training. And they're like, why? And you're thinking, I don't want to know all that. Talk about a young girl, you ask them, and they'll tell you about fashion, they'll tell you about makeup, contouring. Have you heard that? I was listening to it the other day. Ask a young man, he will tell you about his football team. Right? That's how it is. So when we do this, it's out of love. We do every little bit out of love. I mean, who would spend a Saturday afternoon driving all the way to Sudbury, sorry, all the way, it took me about 35 minutes today, driving all the way to come and sit? Why? Who is it that brings you here? That love. So today I'm going to talk about some people that we don't normally hear about. I did say that Because Zakira is absolutely phenomenal at Thomas Hype, so I'm going to keep away from them. I'm just going to talk to you about it. So first of all, I'm going to pick someone. Problem is we have these things in our head. The moment we hear Yazid, what do we say? Literally. Well, one of the companions of Imam Hussein was called Yazid ibn Ziyad Mahasir. He was known as Abu Sha'sa. He was searching for Imam. It wasn't like today. You can just fly over. And when he saw Imam, the overwhelming love he had, he just wanted to hug him. Fan club. That was Yazid. Yazid ibn Ziyad Mahasir. You know, you want to be Imam's fan club? Ask with the wazila of Yazid. This Yazid, huh? But don't stick to a name and think that's a name that I'm going to hate, okay? He was so overwhelmed, he refused to leave Imam. It's like, you know, they say a tail. He just followed Imam everywhere. Then you had somebody called John. Have you heard about John ibn Huwei? John was a black man, a beautiful black man. And he was a slave of Imam Ali. Imam Ali freed him. Then he went to Abu Dhar. He sat and learned from Imam Ali. But the Arabs, no difference from us sometimes. A bit racist sometimes. So when they saw a black man, they sort of kept away. But he stood by Imam Hussein and he said, I'm not going to say a word. He just stood with his arms folded and he said, dare anyone to come here. And people tended to think at that time that people who were of a dark skin color, their sweat smelt more. But when he was killed on the battlefield of Karbala, everybody wanted to go near him because the fragrance was phenomenal. Okay, this is called love of Hussein. This is what happens. You had Anas ibn Harith, 96. He comes to Imam says, jihad is not wajib on you. 96, what are you doing here? He goes back to his tent, puts a belt around his waist. He puts a thing around his forehead so his eyelids are lifted. There was no operations to be done. And he says, now can I go? That's love. That's what it's all about. You had Burair Hamadani. You need to know these names because these are the wasilas you will give. And you and I grow old, and you know sometimes children can be a little bit funky. Give the wasila of Anas ibn Harith, right? And say, give me the patience of Anas. Burair couldn't handle the noise of the children. Al-Attash. Sometimes I think about Burair and I think of television. We see pain on television and we switch it off. He couldn't switch it off. He went to get water. He got water. Day of Ashura, he got a, you used to call it a mashk, right? He called a water bag. He put it on the ground. The children jumped on it. The top came off and it all went into the water. It all went into the sand. And Imam said, you have gained the du'as of Fatima. That was Burair Hamadani. Then you had somebody that maybe you find the name might be a little difficult. He's called Huff Huff. I love that name. When I tell my grandchildren, they keep on saying, Nani, who is Huff Huff? You know, it's just a name they like. So I'm glad you know the name. Huff Huff traveled to go to Karbala. Didn't get there till the next day. When he got there the next day, he said, where's Hussein? Where is Hussein? And they told him, we've killed him. We've killed him. He just took his sword out and he said, who killed him? Suddenly he was surrounded and he was killed. You know when I come to a majlis and if I'm late, I go, Ya Allah, Huff Huff, come on. I give you wasila of Huff Huff. Get me there on time. These are people we just need to know. I'm just giving you little bits and pieces so you know who they were. And my favorite. I mean, they were all phenomenal. Qamar, you know Qamar? Yes? And you know Wahab and Haniya. Wahab and Haniya, recently married. Wahab was 25. Qamar, his mama, they were traveling back from their honeymoon, a wedding, and they see the caravan of Imam Hussein, and they look at these people, and they see something they cannot see in other people. They see this joy, you know. And cut a long story short, they ask, who are you? And they said, grandson of the Prophet, going to find fright the truth. Can we join you? Yes. And they join. We're told Wahab was a Muslim for only 10 days on the day of Ashura. When he goes out, he fights on the battlefield, he's killed. His wife is distraught. Haniya cannot handle it. So she takes a tent pole and she runs out. And she is killed by somebody called Rustam. Their heads are thrown to Mama. Mama is Qamar. And Qamar said, what I give in the way of God, I never take back. These are people that we need to read about. These are days of reading about these people. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be able to understand Asma'ul Husna. And I hope today you will do the tasbih of Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And you're dreading the ninth day, aren't you? And you're going to have all these names. It's okay, we'll get there. Okay, can we have a salawat, please? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah.